This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting off with commodities from yesterday, corn trading held steady, but it was higher, while beans charged back after almost 20-cent losses. Soybean meal and soybean oil also followed suit and finished higher. Wheat, however, saw some losses after a 7-cent gain on Monday. And here are your closing commodities from the Chicago Board of Trade for Tuesday. In December, for corn, 356.5, up 1/2. May finished at 368.5, also up 1/2. And May did not change. It stayed at 375.75. On to soybeans for January, 875.5, up 13.25. March finished at 889.5, also up 13 cents, and May finished at 902.75, up 13 cents as well. On to wheat for December, that finished at 498, down 9.5, March finished at 506.5, all down 7.5, and May finished at 512.5, down 6.25. On to soybean meal for December, it finished at 304.90, up 19 cents. January finished at 307.10, up 20 cents. And March finished at 310 even, up 22 cents. On to soybean oil for December, 27.16, up 20 cents. January finished at 27.39, also up 20 cents. And March finished at 27.65, up 21 cents. We'll move on at this time to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the latest cash grain reports.
This is Tuesday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon. After yesterday's sell-off, optimism over a trade deal with China strengthened soybeans today. Plus 6% of the soybeans are still in the field with harvest at only at 94%. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny higher at 318 to 342. Soybean bids are up 15 cents at 802 to 825. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher, 317 to 340. Soybean bids were up 13 to 14 cents at $8 to 850. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 322 to 353. Soybean bids are mostly 12 to 13 cents higher at 807 to 838. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 13 cents higher at 828 to 861. Basis is steady at 4800 to 500 the December. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 284.90 to 299.90, up $1.90 to 490 a ton, with basis unchanged up 3 at 2000 to 500 the December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 4 cents higher at 337 to 357, with basis steady to up 3 at 2000 option to December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted a producer corn bid steady to 2 cents higher at 337 to 354, with basis unchanged to down 2 at 2000 to 300 to December. Soybeans ended up 13 to 14 cents at 830 to 839. With basis steady to up 1 at 4600 to 3700 the January. New crop wheat prices are down 6 cents at 485 to 495 with basis unchanged at 3500 to 2500 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 5 cents higher at 370 to 371. These elevators raised their soybean prices 14 to 17 cents with quotations at 856 to 857. Soft wheat closed up 10 cents at 523 to 524. Milo ended the day 11 cents higher at 356 to 357. Contract bids for producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 323 to 351. Soybeans at $8 to 831. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 329 to 351. Soybeans at 812 to 855. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 334 to 365, soybeans at 817 to 851, and June-July wheat at 475 to 515. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your closing livestock numbers from yesterday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle finished lower with December finishing at 116.70, down 22. February finished at 120.60, down 5, and April finished at 122.57, down 30. On to feeder cattle, they finished lower as well. January finished at 148.42, down 72. March finished at 146 even, down 15. And April finished at 146.40, down 7. On to lean hogs, they finished mixed. December finished at 57.87, up 47 cents. February finished at 65.05, down 50 cents. And April finished at 70.57, down 72 cents. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield one more time today for the latest cash livestock report.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 66 cents lower in a range of $46 to $51.41, with the weighted average carcass price of $49.55. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 26 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds at 30 to 37, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 41, over 600 pounds at 36 to 44. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts at the country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 29 to 36. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled 23,129. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $108.50, heifers on a live basis traded at $112. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 447 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $68.27, which was 5 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $2.14, which was 45 cents lower, with select carcasses at $2.24, which was 45 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 121,000 compared to 119,000 for last week and 121,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 469,000 compared to 479,000 for last week and 461,000 for 1 year ago. Today we have the United Producers Sale Barn auction results for Shelbyville, Illinois. Total receipts of 561. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 108 to 114.50. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 107 to 113.50. Slaughter cows sold in a range of 67 to 80.50. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on here in part 2 of your morning farm show, we'll start with a story from Washington about the farm bill. Being almost a month removed from the election, lawmakers are back at work this week continuing efforts to hammer out a farm bill compromise in the lame duck Congress, as well as avoiding extending the 2014 law that expired September the 30th. Both parties in farm bill talks are on record as wanting a farm bill this year. A major reason is to avoid the uncertainty of an extension, as well as having the new split Congress start from scratch. AFBF's Marketing Director of Advocacy and Political Affairs, Cody Lyon, says many incoming urban and suburban lawmakers are just not up to speed on farm issues.
They just don't have a background of understanding of what happens in these rural areas and with farmers and ranchers, so we want to make sure we have those interactions with them now before they get in the office and start voting on bills.
Lyon says by one account, the farm knowledge gap in the new Congress could be huge.
One figure shows there could be anywhere from 110 to 125 members of Congress who have less than 2 terms of experience. And that's a very big gap, a knowledge gap in order to bridge.
All of which could delay writing another new farm bill in the absence of a lame duck bill. An extension of the expired 2014 farm bill, while not automatic, would also be needed to avoid reverting to law from 1939, a huge hike in milk prices, no crop insurance, little conservation funding, and more, all compounding farmer uncertainty. Moving on into some livestock news, strong demand is helping the pork industry push through high production. An outlook published by the Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service shows that though fourth quarter pork production is on track to reach a record high of more than 7 billion pounds, up 3.5% from a year ago, the ending stocks to production ratio is projected to drop to its lowest level since 1990. Meat industry publication Meeting Place says that means domestic demand is outpacing production because U.S. consumers are likely responding to lower prices by buying more pork at a time when disposable personal incomes are rising. Fourth quarter hog price forecasts reflect heavy supplies, almost 9% lower than prices during the same period last year. For the full year, commercial pork production is projected at a record 26 billion pounds. With E. coli being in the spotlight lately, we find that Florida growers of romaine lettuce are frustrated with last week's announcement by the Centers for Disease Control. A CDC issued an industry-wide blanket freeze to romaine sales to intervene in an E. coli outbreak, warning consumers that no romaine lettuce was safe to eat. However, the outbreak, now likely linked to only California, has no connection to growers from other states. Rick Roth, a sugar and winter vegetable grower in the Everglades agricultural area and Florida state representative, says the CDC decision last week essentially killed markets not linked to the outbreak.
Obviously, we're starting off our vegetable season in about the 7th of November. We've had a good start. Weather's been good. Prices have been very good. We're very optimistic about having a good season this year. And then we ran into the buzzsaw called the Center for Disease Control.
The disease cases were reported before Florida began its romaine lettuce harvest. Roth calls the move beyond frustrating.
The government feels like they need to protect people, but you can't just say stop eating food. You need to be specific on where there are some possible problems. People don't want to do that, but when government does things in a blanket approach, it fails on all accounts. It doesn't help anybody, but it hurts everybody. And the goal of government should be to do no harm. So the way to do no harm is to say, you know, we've had some bad weather out west. We've had some issues out west before, and therefore, you know, be careful. But other areas have not had a problem.
He says consumers should play a role in food safety.
You need to wash your produce when you get it home. You know, there might be a bird dropping or something on an orange or something. You need to wash it. You know, you just need to rinse it off and keep it cold. And if it starts to turn color, throw it away. It's in your hands as a consumer to make sure you're eating the best product you can find.
He says the market freeze by the CDC is an economic blow to Florida vegetable growers.
Well, in my estimation, we harvest about up to $2 million of romaine lettuce a week. So this is a major, major, major problem for our vegetable industry here in Florida. You know, they just took a broad brush approach, and they can't do that. They need to be more specific with where the areas of concern are.
That's Florida farmer Rick Roth. Moving on to regional and local news on this Wednesday morning, harvest in the WSMI listening area may be done, but the rest of the U.S. crop harvest is all but wrapped up this week. Harvest totals are up from 90% a week earlier, but just behind the prior five-year average of 96%. 94% of the corn crop is in the bin, the USDA said in a report on Monday. Soybeans are also 94% harvested as of Monday, up from 91% a week earlier, but behind the average of 98%. In Iowa, 96% of corn is harvested and 98% of beans are harvested, while in Illinois, the corn and bean harvests are complete. Iowa and Illinois are the biggest producers of both crops. While producers in those states are pretty much done with harvest, growers in other areas are well behind the normal pace for this time of year. In Missouri, only 85% of the soybeans are in the bin as of Monday, behind the average of 95%, though the entire corn crop in the state is harvested. Winter wheat planting also is almost finished, with 95% in the ground, though that's just behind the prior five-year average of 99%. Kansas and Oklahoma producers are 96% finished sowing their crops. About 86% of the total winter wheat crop is emerged, behind the average of 92% for this time last year. About 55% of the crop is rated at good or excellent, just ahead of the 50% during the same week last year. While only 13% is poor or very poor, that's little changed from 2017. Sticking with the topic of harvest this morning, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders hosted corn and soybean plots at the farm of Adam Anderson along Route 127 just north of Butler this year, as they've done for the past few years. The plot this year was harvested on November 3rd. The group worked with 11 different agribusinesses in the local area that submitted their entries for the plots. The harvest data for corn are as follow. For first, though, it was Channel Hybrid 21844 VT2P Refuge in a Bag. It finished at 269 bushels to the acre. In second was Stone Seeds Hybrid 6362 Refuge in a Bag. It finished at 257 bushels to the acre. In third was Munson Brand Hybrid 7228 VT2P Refuge in a Bag. It finished at 245 bushels to the acre. And in fourth was Wiffles 8646 at 242 bushels to the acre. Other hybrids included in the plot were Feaster, Ag Venture, Croplin, Dynagrow, LG, and FS Envision. Overall, there were 19 different corn hybrids covering the 10 different brands, with the average total yield for corn being 241 bushels to the acre with 15% moisture. Moving on to the soybean plot results, the number one soybean hybrid this year was RX3750 by Croplin. It finished at 89 bushels to the acre. In second was FS High Soy 38X70, finishing at 86 bushels to the acre. In third was Stone Seed Group's 2RX4327, finishing at 83 bushels to the acre. And we had a tie for fourth at 81 bushels to the acre between FS High Soy 43X60 and LG's S3777RX, and those both finished at 81 bushels to the acre. Other hybrids in the plot this year for soybeans were Munson, Dynagrow, and AgriGold. Overall, there were 14 soybean hybrids covering 7 different brands. Their average total yield for beans this year was 76 bushels to the acre with 17% moisture. That's all we have for this morning. This afternoon we'll cover the last Illinois Crop Progress Report for 2018, as well as some input from some local farmers on harvest here in mid-Illinois. For this Wednesday morning, this is Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.